This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your girl K-Dot back in Ripple Effect. You already know what it is, and you already know the vibes. Here we are, game three underway. You know we got to talk about that. We're also going to talk about what happened in game two. There's a lot of interesting takes on what people believe may have happened in game two, and a lot of it's pretty biased because they want Boston to win. But here's the really cool part about not having a horse in the race. You just want to see a good series. Obviously, I'm going to have my opinion on who I think is going to win based off of whether it's experience, talent level, and most importantly, matchups, whether that's the coaching, right? On either side, and both coaches are phenomenal, and they're in the finals for a reason, right? But how they match up against each other, how they adjust on the fly, in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments, timely timeouts, understanding momentum, and what it can do for a team, especially if you're at home, those things matter. Matchups, right? Will Marcus Smart stay on Steph Curry early and not go under the screens? That stuff is going to matter early in the game. Is Klay Thompson going to be the Klay Thompson that we're all accustomed to? That's going to matter because right now people can match up with Klay Thompson. I see what he's doing on the defensive end, but he seems to be still struggling on the offensive end. And rightfully so, we know what he's been through. But if we're just looking at it objectively, it's going to cause a matchup problem because the more that he's on the floor and he's not effective on the offensive end, he's going to be a liability, right? Because as you can see, these teams, they're looking to put up threes. They're looking to score. But the defense has been phenomenal. That's what we noticed with the – well, we already knew Boston – top five defense, and then Ime Udoka takes over, and they're number one defense in the league. We already know what they're bringing. But I mean more so for the Warriors, watching them switch. They also got Gary Payton II now. I told y'all to watch out for him because you have to understand what, like, how role players affect the game, especially at home. Everybody's been saying it for a while now. Role players do play better at home. But here's the thing, which is pivotal. Gary Payton isn't just a role player. He's a fan favorite. Did you see the reaction of the crowd when he got in the game? And then don't let him hit that three. Yeah, and he hit the three, and you just felt the momentum switch. I know a lot of people don't seem to buy into it for whatever reason, whether it's a player, analyst, whatever, fans of the game. I believe in it. It's huge. It's those things that you can't explain and ultimately decides games. Because, yeah, it does depend on who wants it more. But at the same time, when all the guys buy in, it becomes electric, especially when the Warriors do it. I don't know what it is about the Warriors. You can see a lot of teams get hot. But when the Warriors get hot, it's just ridiculous. It's like the whole team just becomes unconscious. And then Jordan Poole with the buzzer beating, like, what, half? What was that, the logo shot? Like, that's definitely demoralizing because you're already tired and you're running around and you're like, man, like, we were already down and then he hits this shot. And you know it's all about closing out quarters, right? We talked about that. All those things tie into it. Now, I know some people want to make the narrative like, well, Draymond Green should have got a technical. He should have got thrown out the game. And the reason why he didn't is because they wanted the Warriors to win. And that's why the Warriors won. I'm like, listen, you can have your opinion on what you felt like the refs should have done. But I don't think the refs should be in the business of deciding games. Now, the fact that whole thing didn't escalate beyond what it did, I think they're both refs were right. No call. No call on either one of them. You know, when Jaylen went to shoot, kicked Draymond, and you know Draymond was already on whatever he was on, that Draymond finals. It's playoff time. I'll do anything to win. I'm the energizer. I'm the guy that everybody looks for to run this team, and this is how I run the team, and this is how I lead by example. I get it. But Boston lost that game because of the turnovers. What was it? 18 turnovers. And of those 18 turnovers, 33 points were scored by the Warriors. That's going to make anybody lose the game. And that literally had nothing to do with Draymond, you know, in terms of that specific play, whether he should have got the technical or not. You know, because obviously that would have been his second, and then he would have got ejected. And, like, at the end of the day, like, like I said, it's so much easier watching these games when you don't have a horse in the race. And not only that, it gives you the ability to see, you know, everybody kind of, you know, have all these different justifications that really don't make sense, because as a fan, right, you're a fanatic. Sometimes how you see things, how you view things aren't exactly logical, right? It's just how you feel. It's an emotion, right? Because you want this team to win so bad because they haven't won. They've worked so hard. They went through the East. They had a tough road. Maybe you hate the Warriors. Tired of them winning. Man, they drafted so well. But I hate them. Like, you know, Steve Kerr, the way he got the job. But Mark Jackson, like, I get it. Like I said, I see it on both sides. And at the end of the day, it's like, people really do get tired of greatness. I guess I'm just one of those individuals that really don't get tired of greatness. And to be quite honest, there is no, oh, they deserve to win. You deserve to win if you go out and take it. If the Boston Celtics shut the Golden State Warriors up, go out, execute the great plan that Ime Udoka has set out for them all year long, that's led them to this moment, what is there left to say besides congratulations? Well deserved. 18 titles, right? Your championships. You now are in front of the Lakers once again. Because if you don't know, the Lakers have 17 championships, and the Boston Celtics also have 17 championships. So obviously if they won, that would make them just one higher. And it also would put that pressure on the Lakers to really want to do something, right? At least you would think, but that's just my thinking. But at the same time, like I said, like I mean, you can't really tell people how to feel, but just enjoy what you're watching, because what you're watching is greatness. And you know what? If Klay is able to come back to be at least half Klay, yeah, the Boston Celtics are in trouble. And I'm telling you, they're going to win. If Jordan Poole is half of what he's been. I know he's been inconsistent. The moment has kind of seemed a bit much for him, you know, as of late. But last game, he had a good game, so we got to give him that. You know, no shade. But he's also trying to get this bag at the end of next season, you know, with playing for an owner that's not exactly cheap. So, and he's just like, luxury tax, what? Don't matter, right? So, all that consideration, not to mention world title, best team, you know, going into the offseason. There's just a lot that goes into it. And I think we're going to see a really good game tonight. And I don't mean like we're going to see a good game because it's the finals. No, we're going to see a good game because now it's like, okay, not only do we have a series, we don't have to worry about somebody being up two, even though some people probably wanted it that way. But no, I would like to see a longer series. You know, but it's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to be in Boston. And I've been to some Celtics games, and let me tell you, those fans ride or die. They are no joke. They are loud. They are like that. That's Momentum is going to play a big part in this game. If the Celtics can get going and you have Williams and you have all these guys like Marcus Smart, Pritchard, Tice, Al Horford. I mean, I feel like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are supposed to be a given. They're stars. They're supposed to have, you know, good games, right? But I'm saying if they get going and that crowd is rocking, it's going to be hard to shut them up. That I will tell you. It will be hard, and the Golden State Warriors will be tested, unlike any other team. Because as good as everybody says the Memphis Grizzlies are, I get it. That was the only team that I would say that really tested the Warriors. And even then, I still kind of saw it. They weren't there yet. They weren't there yet. Because you have to understand that if the Golden State Warriors are at full strength throughout that entire series, because I know some people, you know, they mention about Ja Morant not playing, but I like Ja Morant. I've seen him play. I have NBA League Pass, so I've seen a lot more games. And, you know, I felt like he should have been on national television a lot more often. But you guys need to understand that the Memphis Grizzlies is not Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. They are the Memphis Grizzlies. They play as a team. They got a couple of guys that can get hot. They got dogs on their team. They will go out flat out, get it done. That's why when Ja Morant was not in and they were still balling, still winning games. Like, don't get it twisted. Don't cut Memphis short. Memphis is a team, a solid team. And they haven't come out of nowhere. They've just been groomed. They've been drafted. They've been developed very well. And under great leadership. But obviously when you add Ja Morant into that picture, it just becomes like, yeah, they're not too far away from being in the finals at some point, you know, within the next 2 years. For sure. They stay healthy. Experience, you know, that's always helpful. Understanding guys, chemistry is better. And they're young too, so understand. So when people, you know, try to just, yeah, but if Ja Morant was playing, you got to understand, like, if a player is not in, especially a guy like Ja Morant, it changes the whole dynamic, right? Because other guys have to step up. It doesn't necessarily mean somebody would win or lose. Not all the time. Not if you're looking at it from an analytics standpoint. It just means the points are going to be allocated differently. And it just depends on who's going to get those timely buckets late in the game. It really all depends. Will other guys step up? Would Klay be more consistent that series? You know, if Gary Payton II was in, got a little more minutes. You know, there's a lot of different variables that, you know, that could have played out. Since you want to, you know, go back and forth about who's healthy, who's not. Listen, Memphis was a complete team. Yes, obviously they're missing their best player, but I'm just saying, like, don't sell them short. Don't do it. Of course they miss Ja Morant. Who wouldn't miss Ja Morant, really? But don't make it seem like Dylan Brooks and them and Desmond Baines, like, please don't, like, them guys are solid. I digress. But it's true. The Warriors have not been tested like Boston has. Boston has been tested all season. When they had that choice whether to get together or split each other up, they had a decision. They've stuck by that decision. They've doubled down on it. They got through the Nets, Bucks, and Heat. Impressive. Crazy. But at the same time, I think Boston sometimes gets into these, they get into like these little lulls where they kind of just either want to play Golden State Warrior basketball where they're kind of getting up and down the floor pretty quickly. I don't think that that's their best asset. Can they do it? Sure. But should they be trying to match Golden State? I wouldn't do that because I don't feel like that's their game plan. Or even when Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown gets to the point where they want to do ISO too much, that can also get in the way. When I watch the game, and also when I'm watching Jaylen Brown sometimes just keep going through traffic in the paint, losing the ball constantly, or just kind of just doing things to look for fouls, yeah, that's not going to work in the NBA Finals. And you know what? It shouldn't. They're letting you guys play. They're really only there just to monitor the game, make sure things don't get out of control. And when something is, like, obvious or egregious, then, yeah, they're going to call it. But for the most part, they're not trying to decide the game. And that's why they only have the best referees in right now. And they probably only have the most experienced. Because they're not going to be calling, you know, every little thing. They're not going to be, and they shouldn't, because that would be a very long, boring game. Not to mention, guys will be fouling out. You have to understand, too, this isn't an entertainment industry, and you want people to tune into the game for the entire 2 hours and 30 minutes or so, depending on commercials and different things of that nature, timeouts and overtime, whatever. But you get my drift. This game is definitely going to all boil down to Boston's defense. As long as they're consistent on the defensive end like they've been and taking care of the ball, those turnovers are not going to get it done, because the Golden State Warriors will make you pay, and it's usually with a three. And that's hard to come back from so many times just losing the ball. Getting others involved, that's going to be huge. Understanding what guys like Draymond Green are going to do and not letting it get to you to the point where it takes you out of your game. Yeah, raise your level of physicality. I love what Jaylen Brown said. That's exactly what you should do. It's the finals. It's exactly what you should do. But at the same time, make sure you're making it about the game and not anything personal. Because Draymond is a mastermind at this. This is what he does. And if you play into it and you're thinking you're getting the better of him, meanwhile Steph's doing good, Klay's rocking, Jordan Poole's doing well, and now you got Bielitsa. I think that was key what Kerr did, putting in Bielitsa. Brilliant. Shouldn't have been surprised. Putting in a bigger body that can shoot, get rebounds. I just can't wait for him to put in Kuminga, because I'm telling you, like, that's also going to be another game changer. And that's the beauty about the Warriors. They're deep. They have a bench and more. And that's why even next year, it's even like, if Wiseman's back healthy and you got a 7-foot guy, like, that's going to be like, you already know. But right now, game 3, I think the Warriors have momentum on this series. I think people are thinking already they have Boston winning this game because they're going to be in Boston, and because Boston was so good at taking game number one, I should say. I think that people are really going to think that Boston is just going to take over this game. And I think the Warriors are ready for that. I think that they understand that's what they want to do. But I think they're going to make this interesting. So they're going to be in Boston for 2 games. I say they take tonight. I say they take game 3. But I'm also going to say I think they lose game four. I think they're going to give it all they have tonight. I think they're going to catch Boston slipping for a number of reasons, because who knows if Draymond's going to get kicked out of this game or not. And I don't like speaking things into the universe, and I do believe in stuff like that, but I'm just here to give you my take. But I wouldn't be surprised if Boston is just ready and the Warriors are ready for Draymond to possibly be out the game for whatever reason. Because sometimes he surprises you with the things that he does, honestly. Not really surprise you in the sense of, like, his antics, because you know something's going to happen. But, like, last game, I didn't know he was going to pull down Jalen's shorts. Like, what's the over or under on that? Pause. But it's like, like I said, I can't guess. Like, that was surprising to me. But at the same time, would I be surprised that he wouldn't do whatever it takes to make sure Boston gets out of their rhythm, out of their game? Yeah. Yeah. Just for them to retaliate, kind of forget where they are in the moment, you know? But that's just how good and that's how competitive it's going to be. Don't get me wrong. I know everybody's like, oh, you're wishing it. No, I'm really not. I just see that this game being so hype and the fact that it's in Boston, and I know how these Boston fans are, that it's going to be really easy to kind of get caught up in all of it, right? Because the crowd is going to have their back, especially on Draymond. I think every time Draymond gets the ball, he's going to get booed. You know, fans are going to be talking to him all night. Who knows if he's going to respond like Kyrie and get fined? Who knows? But I'm expecting all of it and some. And I think it's all going to be great. And I hope y'all tune in. And also tell me your opinion. Who you think is going to take game three? Definitely show your work. Please tell me why. Don't just tell me, yeah, Boston's going to take it because I hate the Warriors. Okay. Good talk. No, like, really give me your opinion. Like, I really want to know, like, your thought process. If you think the Warriors are going to win and why, because maybe why you think the Warriors are going to win may be a different reason from me, which is obviously awesome because it's a different way that I get to look at things. And what better way to do that with people who support you. So I appreciate that. And once again, I appreciate all the support out there. Make sure you are listening and liking and subscribing to Ripple Effect with KDOT. You know, I'm here all the time, ready for questions, ready for anything that's going on in the world. But guys, I also want to talk to you about something because I just, it was an interesting conversation going on the radio, XM Radio, NBA, Channel 86. They have a lot of good topics every once in a while, and they talk about something that I feel like I shoot back at you guys, see what you think, which is, what's more important, championships or impact? I know, heavy. Now, I can tell you what I mean by impact, right? And the best example I can give you when you talk about impact and you're talking about somebody who never won championships is Allen Iverson. Think about it. This man never won a championship. But his impact, not just only the tattoos, the cornrows, the baggy shorts, the different colored socks and all that, not to mention just his overall style. Because, you know, David Stern wasn't having that. Like but Allen Iverson had the earrings. I mean, you can argue that he's literally the reason why we have so many cameras looking at the NBA players when they get off the bus, when they're entering the arena to check out their fit, right? To check out what outfit or different things that they have on, right? Like, that walk has become a thing. And I would argue that that has everything to do with Allen Iverson and not just, like, the off-court stuff. Or we can talk about on-court, the impact that he had and how he was able to lead his team to the finals with nothing and get game one over the Lakers. Man, Iverson, answer. I remember his sneakers, Reebok. I mean, it was a cultural phenomenon. Iconic. Unbelievable. The chains. Everybody can still remember that and feel that. Right? But he never won a ring. Now, I'm not trying to say that's necessarily better than winning a ring, but can we say it's the same? I know. It's weird, but I'm asking you to really think about it. Like, not just a fast no, but maybe a slow yes. Because he didn't need a ring to be great. I hope we're not having this conversation about Chris Paul, but it's trending in that direction, especially with the whole Aiden deal, and that's a whole nother conversation that we can definitely get into in another podcast, because that just was nothing but drama. But you understand what I'm saying. To me, CP3, top five point guard. He's mine. I don't know about you. But if he's not in that conversation for you, then it's like, I guess we're just going to have a long debate. Because I don't see how you could not. I've seen what he's done. The impact that he's had on the point guard position. The impact he's had on State Farm commercials. But the man has had an impact. You can go down the line. The Patrick Ewings, right? The Charles Barkley. I mean, even today, that's like an on-running joke. But he's arguably more popular than he was when he was actually playing. But go check the tape. Shaq said once, Google me. Yeah. Excuse me. Google Charles Barkley. Dude was a beast, won MVP of the league. Like, beast. But at the end of the day, we're going to sit there and say, but you didn't have no championships. Like, it's true. It's a team game, though. It's a team game. Like, when are we actually going to realize that? And obviously, there's a lot of things that come into play. You have guys coming from poverty, right? So to get into the league, it's not just a professional accomplishment. It's a generational accomplishment. What you have done is going to change the lives, your parents' lives, your kids' lives, your kids' kids' lives. You know, your family's lives around you, your community. Like, that's big. And I don't think a lot of people understand that when you're making decisions on taking contracts and understanding what team they should go to and what puts them in a better position to win. And I think some people just get caught up on the fandom part of it and kind of just say, well, don't you want to win? And it's like, yeah, but I kind of want to feed my family, though. I think that's more important. You know, because you want to be able to set yourself up for the long run. Because the reality is, you don't ever really know how long you're going to play for. I mean, when you're all said and done, like, obviously the years are there. But when you're in it and you're in the moment and you're signing contracts and you're making those pivotal decisions, people need to understand that it's not just based off winning. It's not. I know what some people are going to say. It doesn't really take $1 million to feed my family. All right, well. We're not just talking about literally feeding the family. We're talking about putting your family in a position to never be where they once were. If nobody has money and you're the one carrying all that weight and have to supply everything, that money is not, it's not endless. It may seem like it, because to fathom what, you know, $100 million is, or whatever the contract may be very far out of some of our reaches. So it, to sit there and fathom that thought might be like, whoa. But when you're taking into account taxes and agents, and if you like to get in trouble a lot, lawyers, being able to take care of your body, guys like LeBron spends about $1 million a year. That's very expensive, right? Smart, don't get me wrong, because that's an investment, and your body, you know, is what's earning you that money. So it kind of makes sense for you to make sure it's up to snuff, you know, if it's in tip-top condition, ready to go. But at the same time, that's money. That's money that's off the top. That's what you have to consider. You know, you want to set yourself up. If you want to keep up with the Joneses and all these different things and rides and all that stuff costs money. And I'm saying all these things because some guys did just want to win. And they put themselves into positions which they felt at the time that they would win. But if you look back on their careers and you see where they are now, there are athletes that go broke, whether football or NBA. Believe it or not, the statistics are actually high in that very regard. So what I mean by that is, if a guy or girl, that for that matter, had such an impact on the game, maybe didn't win any championships because they had to put the money, meaning their family, first. Is that such a bad thing? You let me know. Guys, that's my time. Always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. I'm out. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.